There ain't no justice like angry mob justice, baby. Hello, you awakening wonders. Thanks for joining me on this voyage to truth and freedom. Within you, even now, there is a great awakening light, and together we can fuel this light. How? With truth. Today, we will be revealing yet more about the FBI lies of Jan 6. I can't believe it. Are we going to talk about that?
Yeah, we certainly are.
You are the best on-screen assistant money could buy. You really are. What do you want to be careful about? The truth. Can't you handle the truth? We're on Rumble right now. If you're watching us on YouTube, I don't blame you. You could be one of the 6.4 million awakening wonders that is turning that platform that is potentially highly regulated, possibly by the WHO, also by an algorithm and commercial interests, into a place of freedom. Can we build a new Jerusalem here in cyberspace? Of course we bloody well didn't. Now, what about this? There's more revelations about... I'm sorry to say this. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but there's more revelations about Bill Gates and Epstein and blackmail. This comes from a mainstream media source. I do sometimes think, like, whoever murdered
allegedly
Epstein, like, unless he just died how they said he died.
Allegedly.
Would they say he impaled himself on a spear, like blew up his head, like Wile E. Coyote in a cell somewhere.
Official report.
Official report by Mr. Wile E. Coyote, he hung himself on an endless shoelace.
Allegedly.
Like, whoever it was that did that, they're good at... I'd say if it were that he were murdered, it would have to be someone that's very good at murdering people under difficult and tricky circumstances, because they were able to get someone into that high security, murder, get out, no one found out about it. So anyway, so we've got more...
You're discounting the inside job there.
What do you mean inside? Yeah, we'd have to get someone on the inside, but I'm saying they've got good reach.
Absolutely.
Very good reach. Mm. Very, very, very good
if
reach.
If that happened, yes,
yeah,
they would have.
Probably not.
Allegedly.
We're going to be talking about, on our presentation, here's the news, we're talking about Elon and, ironically, conspiracy theories, and his assertion that many of these conspiracy theories under scrutiny and analysis are not conspiracy theories at all, rather dissenting views that are outside the mainstream establishment narrative, which, of course, ultimately always ends up being about centralizing authority and being able to control financial outcomes and assert dominion. There's a blackout on Biden's business bombshells, baby. Did you know that? Well, not on this channel, there ain't. We'll be talking about it. Also, we've got William Hartung, baby, exposing corruption in the military-industrial complex. I know some of you are doing a drinking game where every time I say military-industrial complex, you have a drink, and some of you are suffering from alcoholism as a result, because I'm always going on about it. Well, I'm so sorry for telling the truth, Theo, about important stuff. Hey, you can watch us on Locals. Press the red button in the corner of your screen. If you're on Rumble now, give us a Rumble. Rumble us like it's 1999. That's how you rumble someone, gal, if you didn't know. Get with it. And then press the red button and join us on Locals like these lovely people. Tamara Spencer, Cap City, Pivkey. I know I am. It's early in California. Epstein was a tool for the... CIA.
Allegedly.
You can't say that, can they? Can they say that?
You've just allegedly described exactly how he was potentially murdered.
I don't think that...
Allegedly.
Look, I'm trying to... Whatever they said, that's probably what happened. That is probably what happened. So, listen, he probably ended his own life after a difficult day down in the old...
Allegedly. I think.
Look.
You're going to have to move off.
Are we going to...
We're going to have to
YouTube
save this. No.
Because I've got stuff to say. Did you know that the BBC have started a new verification wing that they're presenting like it's some sort of colourful Teletubbies delight? Oh, we're going to be verifying you and stuff like that. Funded by... In extraordinary ways. We'll talk about that when we leave YouTube in a second. Not indefinitely. We will always remain there to support you, our 6.4 million. But before we get into William Hartung exposing corruption from, you guessed it, military-industrial complex, we're going to talk to you a little bit about some fun news. Like, well, this is about, you know, Buddy Boy Teixeira. Some people are calling him that. He's the lad, little lad here. He's only about this big. What he done was he went on a chat room and revealed a bunch of Pentagon secrets, Pentagon Papers part deux. Well, they're discrediting him like nuts over on Jake Tipper's CNN show. Let's have a look.
The Massachusetts judge deciding that 21-year-old airman Jack Teixeira will stay behind bars while awaiting trial. Teixeira charged with leaking troves of sensitive classified documents.
Oh, sort of treasure words are sneaking in. I'm hearing a lot of words like treasure, piracy, gym lad. All of it sneaking into the mainstream lexicon.
There also terms like sensitive information, but at no point does he say, which we should probably have access to some of that sensitive information, especially if it relates to this ongoing war.
This war that you're paying for, that you're funding. Did you want to know about it, or should we just do what we want to
do? No, we'll focus on the things that he has done
wrong. Look how little he is! He's only about that big. Look, that's him. If he was stood there, he'd only be as high as he was in that picture. A little limpet of a lad.
Online. In addition, he was allegedly not particularly shy about his love of guns and racist and anti-Semitic views. Now Air Force memos show...
Love of guns and anti-Semitic views. I love these views of mine, he says to himself in his consciousness.
His supervisors had previously warned him three times to stop deep diving into classified material. They even offered to...
I feel like if you are, like, in the military and you have to warn one of your subordinates more than once, actually...
I think so.
Like, they're not cut out for life in the military.
Right.
In it, like, in the military, as you know, remember I was in the Marines that day.
I remember.
Now, one of the things we prided ourselves on, me and the other Marines, was our discipline.
That's right.
Like, if
the... You didn't leak one file that day, I remember.
I leaked a couple of files,
did you?
I popped out and leaked a couple of files to some of the others.
Right. I wasn't aware of that.
By God, if my sergeant major said jump, I said, how high?
I know.
He said jump. I'm like, haha.
Yeah.
That's straight away back to him. That's what I say. Not like Buddy Boy Teixeira.
No.
Three warnings they gave him. He's still leaking all over the gaff.
Yeah.
He's leaking like Joe Biden's catheter.
Allegedly.
We don't even know that he's got one,
no,
do we?
Don't.
And
no.
If he did have one, he'd probably have it all screwed up nicely, wouldn't he? Because his missus is a doctor. You'd take care of things like that, wouldn't you?
Sure.
Allegedly.
Of course you would.
The thing about that report...
Have you got something important to say,
well,
mate?
It's not... I guess I don't know if it's important, but that's exactly what they do, doesn't it? They focus on... I mean, even when they're mentioning his like love of guns, it's like, let's focus on the individual and the things that we can dig up about him that may or may not be true,
you.
Rather than the actual things that he had to say.
Anti-Semitism is wrong. Focus on anti-Semitism rather than the revelations. I have a little saying that I learned from people that have educated me. Principles, not personalities. Don't get infatuated by personalities. Think of the principles and the values behind them. Authenticity, sincerity, truthfulness, honour, valour, service. These are all important ideas, especially in the bouncy castle business, gal.
Oh.
Bouncy castles.
Mainly, I would say.
That's where they emanate from. Yeah. That's the epicentre of those values. In America, you call them jump castles or jump parties. What do you call them? Let us know in the chat. Click on the red button. Join us on Locals. Tell us the answer to that question. In England, we call them bouncy castles. Like that, bouncy. I don't know what you call them in America. In a minute, we're going to be talking about the FBI suspending three whistleblowers who simply wanted to tell you the truth about January 6th. If you're watching this thinking, why is this guy talking about jump castles? In a minute, you'll be thinking, why is this guy telling us some hard home truths about the infiltration of January 6th protests by CIA assets?
Allegedly.
Potentially across deep state agencies, numbering in the hundreds. That's allegedly.
Allegedly.
For now. That's allegedly for now, but it's some important information, and given that the FBI are treating these whistleblowers appallingly.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble.
You might be wondering when I'm next going to mention the military-industrial complex. It's in a matter of seconds because I'm being joined by William Hartung, author of Prophets of War, Lockheed Martin, and the making of, yeah, you guessed it, guys, get ready for a drink, the military-industrial complex. Hello there, William. Thanks so much for joining us. Man, and stop standing in front of a background that's the same color as your shirt. You'll look like a head floating in space, like a Lockheed Martin missile soaring terrifyingly through the sky. Now, before you critique Raytheon and Northrop Grumman, you should learn how to at least unmute yourself. Otherwise, you give them the advantage, sir. Is your mic on, darling?
Can you hear me?
Oh, perfectly well. Thank you for joining us, William. It's so lovely to meet you.
Yes, glad to meet you.
Hey, come on then. What's going on with the military-industrial complex? Is it driven by greed and special interests, or is it driven by national security and a desire to protect the good people of America?
Well, it hides behind the rhetoric of national security, but it's basically a racket for picking the pockets of the taxpayers.
Yes, that's interesting. The US is the world's largest arms dealer. How on earth have we arrived in a position where the most powerful nation on earth facilitates arms sales, even delivering them in some cases? And which is the worst of all of the arms dealing companies and why?
Well, it's kind of a toss-up between Lockheed Martin and Raytheon. They created the bombs that have killed thousands of civilians in Yemen. They sell to Egypt. They sell to Nigeria. They sell to the Philippines, some of the most repressive regimes in the world, even as they try to dress themselves up as some sort of arsenal of democracy. They're actually arsenal of dictatorships.
I see. Can you give me that asset list, guys? I can't find that asset list. Oh, is it on this? I can't find it. The asset list for the interview with William. It'll be good if I just give me those things so that at the top of it says William Hartung, and then it's a list of the assets and questions in one place on one sheet so I can conduct these things with the professionalism our guest deserves. Thank you very much. So the world's largest arms producing companies are listed there, and by far and away Lockheed Martin is the greater. What do you think is the relationship between those kind of sales and their donation strategy to, you know, say the Democrat Party but also the Republican Party, and the expenditure on lobbying, William?
Well, it's directly connected. I mean, there's some members of Congress who tried to cut off sales to Yemen, to the Philippines, other places, but the industry gave $83 million to Congress in the last two election cycles. They have 820 lobbyists, which is more than there are members of Congress. There's actually three or four peace lobbyists, so it's obviously not a fair fight. And they hire former government officials to lobby for them, and also four of the last five U.S. Secretaries of Defense came from weapons companies like Raytheon, Boeing, and General Dynamics. So this is a revolving door that goes both ways, and people profit in both sides of the equation.
While we pull up this Eisenhower quote, could you tell me about peace lobbyists, how they're funded, and what their role is? Although, of course, I can ascertain to a degree what it might be from their name.
Well, most of them are funded by individuals. There's groups like the Friends Committee on National Legislation. There's the Council for a Livable World. They're fighting to reduce Pentagon spending, to cut nuclear spending, to get us out of some of these wars. But it's an uphill fight, both, I think, because of ideology and because of just the sheer force of money on the other side.
Enoch Powell, who is often credited with inspiring much of the right-wing and ethno-nationalist rhetoric that prevails to this day, once said of Britain, "You cannot have Britain without a monarchy. Britain is fundamentally and essentially a monarchy. Once you abolish the monarchy, you no longer have Britain." Do you think the same could be said of the United States of America and the military-industrial complex? Is war so integral to the economic model of the United States of America that it's unthinkable to rid America of this institution?
Well, it's not a huge part of the economy, but it's politically wired because they give money to the members of Congress who decide how much to spend on the Pentagon. They spread their jobs all over the country. They have lobbying, they have advertising, they are involved in government commissions that define what the so-called threats are. So it's kind of a political stranglehold. I mean, we could build another kind of economy, but it would be a heavy lift because of all these political interconnections.
What's the Quincy Institute that you're there representing, William?
We're a transpartisan, meaning we're not affiliated with the other party. We work with people across the spectrum, and our basic thrust is end endless wars, more diplomacy. And in this climate, that's a surprisingly controversial stance. Shouldn't be, but in many quarters, it is, unfortunately.
Do you find that different conflicts have different inflections to the two parties, specifically when speaking about diplomacy ending the current Russia-Ukraine conflict? Do you find that that's batted back a lot by Democratic representatives and with the escalations of tensions between the US and China regarding Taiwan and semiconductors, that the Republican Party seem to be agitating for conflict? Are both parties in the business of war, and are there inflections and accents within that?
Both parties are split. There's more Republicans critical of arming Ukraine than there are Democrats, although some progressive Democrats are at least pushing diplomacy. On the other hand, I think both parties are fairly hawkish about China, unfortunately, at this point, which is kind of the driver of these huge Pentagon budgets, which are moving towards $1 trillion a year if we don't stand in the way and try to stop that.
Yeah, I see. Do you think that we can learn anything other than certain economic affiliations from the way that they perceive these conflicts? Is there anything to be gleaned from the distinctions that you just outlined?
Well, I think the people who are on the take, who get the campaign contributions, who have the weapons factories in their districts, tend to be pro-war on either side of the aisle. And the ones who are less bound by that tend to be free to be more critical.
If I can just pass over to my colleague, Gareth Roy, who has an inquiry for you now.
Hi, William. Sorry about the little noise there. I'm really interested in the way in which I guess calling for diplomacy with the current situation with Russia and Ukraine has become an issue that is now hard to talk about, even seemingly on the left. We kind of know the ways in which the military-industrial complex kind of seems to donate equally to both party. We know that lobbyists, I think it's something like 3/4 of lobbyists have been previously members of the government. It's all tied up massively to make sure that these increased Pentagon budgets keep going, that money keeps filtering through to the military-industrial complex. And yet, talking about this, raising this as a possibility as to why war is continued, seems to be pushed over to the fringes, to the kind of almost like conspiracy theorists now, to be raising these issues that used to be a left-wing talking point. And I wondered what your thought is on how that has happened and maybe the influence that potentially the military-industrial complex has had on that.
Well, I think the Russian invasion has just thrown everything up in the air in terms of positions on the left and right. But what interests me is not only is the complex getting tens of billions of dollars for arming Ukraine, but of course, they pushed for NATO expansion in the 90s and have been selling U.S. weapons all over Europe since then. And they're trying to say, well, Ukraine shows we need more weapons, we need to move them faster, we need to build up, supersize the military-industrial complex. So they're seizing this moment to try to get all kinds of favors that they've wanted for years. And much of this is not going to even affect Ukraine. It's just going to line the pockets of the contractors.
Hey, William, we've got a great question here from Ashella in our chat. She says, is POTUS really the commander-in-chief when it comes to the matters of war, or is the real commander-in-chief the person who commands the POTUS?
Well, I think he's restrained in many ways by the political climate, and the military-industrial complex helps to set that climate. So, for example, there was a commission that talked about how we weren't spending enough on the Pentagon, and that commission was appointed by Congress. More than half the members were consultants to the military industry, executives of the military industry, think tanks funded by the military industry. So they have a great power in shaping the parameters of debate, of shaping the environment in Congress. So if we had a president who wanted to end every war right now, they'd be up against all that. That kind of political wall they'd have to get over.
When you're engaged in matters that seem intractable like this, how does it affect your personal morality and your personal hope? Do you feel drained occasionally by the scale of your task? How do you feel that this will evolve and develop, the issue of trying to curtail military expenditure and agitation for unnecessary wars? How does it affect you as a human?
Well, it can be wearing for sure, but I'm kind of stubborn. I don't want to let them get away with this. I don't want them to be a lack of independent voices trying to tell people what's really going on. I think in the longer term, we can turn this around. But day to day, sure, it can be depressing, but I'm not giving up. I'm just re-energized, if anything, because there's so much to deal with and so much to push back against.
Well, you get a bit depressed, do you? Sometimes feel I'm a bit depressed about this.
Well, yeah, there's moments. I mean, you know, we're up against it, and it's their powerful interests, and they've been, you know, getting their way in terms of money, in terms of profiting from wars and so forth. But on the other hand, I feel a great sense of mission to try to put out alternative information, and that is energizing.
Yeah, it is, I suppose.
Pushback yourself in terms of are you labelled as being unpatriotic and things like this? I mean, you must get those kind of accusations for pointing these things out.
Sure. There's, you get emails, you get when you have debates, people try to, pin you as pro-Putin and so forth. But I think the best way to go at it is just to dismiss that as ridiculous and, make the arguments you need to make and not let it affect you.
Do you want us to send you some encouraging emails solely for the purpose of boosting your morale? So when you open your laptop tomorrow, it'd be like loads of them like going, yeah, go on, William Hartung, using a new nickname we've developed for you, William Hartung Baby, from the name of the U2 album, deluging you with praise, sometimes bordering on sycophancy and hysteria, just to put some pep in your step as you begin your day tomorrow.
Well, I think, if people went to our YouTube page, I would be thrilled because I'm represented there at Quincy INST. Emails would be great. What would be even better is my first album, named Hartung Baby. I just can't sing, but...
That doesn't matter. As long as you can wear some sunglasses and then decades into your career claim it's for an eye condition, you are overqualified for the business. All right, so you can listen to William's new album, Hartung Baby, on his YouTube page, which is, what's it called again, William?
Ed Quincy INST. All our social media is on that moniker.
Post it in the chat. We'll post all your stuff in the chat. And also, what about William's book, Prophets of War? That's with the PH. Lockheed Martin and the Making of the Military Industrial Complex. You think Lockheed Martin is the worst one? Have they not made anything that's good, like a telescope or something?
Well, they're the most corrupt company in the history of the military industrial complex, in terms of cost overruns, bribery, overcharging, selling to dictatorships, getting the government to subsidize their mergers. So there's they're kind of a model of what not to do in terms of a responsible corporation, if there is such a thing. I chose them for my book because they're kind of a case study in the development of that complex and its growing power. They get more money a year in many years than the whole State Department. They probably get as much money as the whole military budget when Ike gave his military industrial complex speech. So he couldn't have dreamed of this kind of money and power, when he was raising the alarm about this in the early 1960s.
Zyfer 2000 said we need an antitrust breakup. No Doug Go No Co says Profits of Profit would be a good title as well for the first book, but using the different spellings of it. But Noga Danoku did earlier say that he was going to move into Gareth's house without first asking permission. So I don't know if we want him in a brainstorm.
No.
Do we, when it comes to titles? William?
It wasn't really a question, Ross.
Sorry. No. William, I feel that we've had a nice time together and I would like very much if you'd come on our show again. And next time I would look at the contrasts between the backdrop and your shirt and think very carefully. Put aside some of the stubbornness that you're deploying in, ironically, your war against the military industrial complex, and simply wear something possibly lemon or tangerine. Two of the suggestions. Just think of limey fruits and think of me and Gareth.
Either that or a lime background with this shirt, yeah.
Yeah, think of that, William. Hey, William, thanks for joining us. Thanks for the education. We're posting all of William's information over on Locals, but also in Rumble. But join us in Locals. It's where we have from a couple of limey fruits, talking about limey fruits. Join us there. Okay, William, thanks, man. We'll see you again. Come on again.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
I like him. It's good,
well,
isn't
he? Say that till he's gone. He's gone.
Sorry. I like him.
Yeah, I think he's great.
Yeah, he was funny, wasn't he? Did you look like him in the chat? Wasn't he funny?
It wasn't
so
funny,
sweet.
Ross.
Oh, no. What was it?
Well, I liked something. Extremely revealing.
What was it I liked again?
All the revelations about, Lockheed Martin.
I know all that already.
All right, yep.
Everyone knows that. I liked that he was sort of a bit sort of like how he was.
Right.
I like the bit when he says that he got depressed. And I just imagined him
saying... Well, you pushed him to that.
I pushed him to reveal that.
Yeah.
Like he's been pushing Lockie by and see how he likes it. I saw, imagined him sat on his bath in the morning, like water mat out or whatever, sort of just a bit hangdog, a bit grouchy.
You really wanted him to be like, you said, do you ever get depressed about things? And then he said, well, you know, I tried to stay upbeat. And
do you think I projected it on him?
You absolutely did.
Did I project that on him?
Yeah.
Do you think said, I did?
No, no. So when
he liked Actong Baby.
He did like that.
He's probably going to release that. Jack will have a graphic and an album. Jack will probably be collaborating with him right now. I bet Jack is zipping across the Atlantic now to collaborate on a kind of Joshua Tree parody with William Actung Baby Hartung.
It'd be amazing if that's what came out of this.
And a love affair.
That William actually released an album.
It'd be good, especially if on the promo tour, like he was dour like that.
Yeah, that was going too far.
What would you want to describe him as? Understated?
Yeah.
Unfussy?
Yes.
A new shirt and a new background. You're right, Fire Girl. That is what needs to happen. Okay, listen, I'd say enjoyed that interview, but some people are saying that I was projecting my own emotional and mental instability upon the guest, which is it's almost like the leper's bell of a bad broadcaster.
He's strong of mind.
Of course he is. He's stubborn. Someone says, give us a quid. Darm addict. Loved him. He's sincere and genuine.
Right.
You too have gone full MICWEF, says Pride Faults. Good, isn't it, this? All right, listen, we're going to do a bit of an extra chat on locals. Are we going to do an extra chat on locals? Yeah, we can, little one. If you've got some questions, ask us the questions. Also, if you join us on locals, press that red button. Press that red button now. You're going to love it if you're watching this on Rumble. Join us. It's warm. It's loving. Also, we're going to overthrow the governments, various world governments, and bring about...
Not today.
Not today. We've got too much on, but later. Formed decentralized anarcho-syndicalist libertarian anarcho wonderland.
That's right.
No one's telling you what to do. You're going to be completely free. It's going to be great. Also, you can see the RFK interview in full. Plus, I do weekly meditations. Plus, we've got podcasts coming up, live ones. Richard Dickie Dawkins, the atheist priest, ironically, will be joining us. And I'm excited to speak to Richard Dawkins. I wanted to speak to him for ages. Remember, in July, we do a live event that you can attend. On tomorrow's show, Ahmed Jalili is coming on talking about the protests in Iran, which I don't know enough about other than it's like a movement that began around sort of feminist issues and women's rights and sort of dress code and Sharia. I don't know enough, but after I speak to Ahmed Jalili tomorrow,
yeah,
we're gonna know a lot more. Hope you're gonna behave yourself.
I'll try.
Gareth, how do you feel when I press that button that says about the question and everything?
I just never know how to explain it to the guest, and he looked so confused at that point. That
I love it.
I know you love it.
Sometimes there have been people where I didn't press it because I thought, no, it's too mad.
Right.
But actually, I'm starting to get my confidence back now.
Yeah, good. I'm glad about that. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because like when it happens, it is sort of like someone that's not really engaging with the
I feel like I'm obligated to
bring it up,
to mention it rather than just move forward with my question.
Look at this person's pride faults. I look at them in the comments. Look, the joke is too old, let it die. No way. I'm keeping that joke going. It's not just William Hartung that's stubborn. He may be using his obstinance to front up to Lockheed Martin. I'm using mine for actually no reason. That's even more stubborn. Because
right.
If your stubbornness is at least engaged with an opposing force.
Yeah, you don't have a target.
No target. That's what I heard once about ISIS. Remember ISIS?
Yeah. They were around for a bit, weren't they?
Them till COVID. Obviously, they've got a lot of people in ISIS plainly had comorbidities. That's what I can deduce. Right? Because, like, ISIS, they were the main thing in town. And, like, I read this article once, and it said, they don't care what you do. They don't care if you negotiate. It really scared me, because it was like, they don't care if you negotiate. They don't care if you agree with them. Don't care if you appease them. They're just going to carry on doing that. But then what happened was this... relatively aggressive cough, and they fell eerily silent.
Yeah, didn't stop the FBI spying on 100,000 Americans in, you know, they'll have gone, we're spying on ISIS, 100,000 Americans.
Yeah, because they can't all of ISIS kind of been Americans.
Right.
Some of them were British. I remember some of the best ones. Do you remember those four lads?
Yeah, people went over because they were promised, in some cases, Nutella. Not that I want to... Well, that was one of the things that the mainstream media said. Oh, it's all about they're offering Nutella. How mad is this?
If it's Nutella you want, yeah. I've got a king-size jar.
Yeah.
So, consider that.
Yeah, like there wouldn't be any other reason.
You can get Nutella anywhere these days. It's freely available. It's not just available in Scandinavia, as it was in its origins. Remember, you used to go on holiday, everything was different.
Yeah.
Remember the feeling going in a Spanish supermarket?
Love it.
Oh, what? Everything's a bit different. What are these biscuits with jam in them? Mm. That's a jammy dodgy. You've got them at home. Get out.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, we're off now, but we're still on locals. Join us there. Ask us a question, a proper question. Proper ones. And don't just strike Freech in there, Nadogo. I'm going to learn how to say that name properly because it does work as a name. All right. See you in a minute. And tomorrow, Omid Jalili, loads of stuff. And, oh, you know the mainstream, the presentation on the mainstream media, the Elon Musk thing, here's the news, no, here's the effing news. That's up on Rumble right now. You can watch that. But don't watch it right now. Stay with us. Watch locals. Then watch that. All right. Not that I'm telling you what to do. Do what you want. I believe in freedom. Join us tomorrow. Not for more of the same, but for more of the different. See you in a minute. Stay free. Many switch in, switch on, switch off, switch many switch in, switch on, switch off, switch on. Many switch in, switch on, switch off, switch many switch in, switch on, switch off.